Amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to continue our series on the 10 words from God. And if you have missed the first couple of installments, make sure you go back on the podcast to catch the first week we covered the first two commandments, and Pastor Don covered commandment number 3, not to use the Lord's name in vain. And tonight we're going to look at commandment number 4, which I'm calling God's word about rest. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's read. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God's word about rest. One promise that I believe pastors share with the congregations they serve is that they serve to encourage and lift the potential of the body of Christ to which they serve. That is a promise that it's not their own personal preferences that could get in the way of the potential of a congregation. That means every time we come to the Lord in prayer and we're seeking what we may share the next time we get the opportunity to share God's word, that we ask what the Lord would have to say to his people for this occasion, not just what the Lord has put on our hearts for a specific time or whatever. And it has occurred to me throughout this week, in the past couple of weeks, because I've had a couple of weeks off here to study, so I am locked and loaded, ready to go on the Lord's Sabbath tonight. I'm just letting you know. I want to tell you, this could be a key part that's missing from your walk with the Lord. Out of all the commandments, this one is probably held in contempt the most. Louis Schaeffer, who was actually the person who founded Dallas Theological Seminary, wrote a book back in 1922 called Grace. He shared a story in that I thought was humorous enough to share with you tonight as we look at what God's word is about rest. He tells a story about one man who challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break, and chopped all day long. The other man had a leisurely lunch, took several breaks during the day, and at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and also annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. He said, "I just don't get it. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did." And what the winning woodsman said was, "What you didn't notice is that every time I rested, I was sharpening my axe." Yes, God's word about rest. The fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And I want to talk to you tonight about why the Sabbath is important. First thing I want to establish with you are just what I'm calling Sabbath questions. Now, we're not going to spend all night tonight answering all of the various questions about Sabbath, but two really important ones that I think for our talk tonight to lay a foundation for is important is, first of all, what is Sabbath? Well, Sabbath simply means to cease from ordinary work. 6 days work, 1 day rest to the Lord. So Sabbath, we see from God's word, is about work and rest. Now, just for a moment, if you'd pardon me, I'd like to jump on a soapbox. Sabbath is about, let me say it again, work and rest. When we develop a theology about work, Sabbath is a part of that, because Sabbath is about work and rest. 6 days work, 1 day rest. Now, for many who are a part of, I'll just make two general categories of older generations who typically are more driven by stability and faithfulness and commitment, you never had to tell somebody to get a job. you had to tell them to take a break. But now, the younger generation, of which I'm a part of, we have to make sure we're challenging our youth and young adult congregants to get a job, a full-time job, and 6 days work, 1 day rest. And I think it's very important because, we have this balance that God gives us when he gives us his word about rest. It's about work and it is about rest. And when we look at the Sabbath, it helps us to keep from making our work an idol, which would be breaking commandment number two. You know, we don't want to make an idol out of rest. We also don't want to make an idol out of comfort. So the motif of Sabbath rest applies to work. It also applies, the writer of Hebrews tells us, which was written to Hebrews. It was also kind of turned into this metaphor for what heaven is going to be like. In fact, Pastor Jeff read Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, where he talked about the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. Well, just before that, the writer of Hebrews is telling us about this Sabbath rest that we await and will enter one day. The second question is this. So that's what is Sabbath. The second question is this. Are Christians covenantally bound to the Sabbath? And I want to tell you this, that Christians are not under the law of Sabbath as a covenant sign of their relationship with the Lord. Now, like the Israelites were in the covenant under Sinai, you have to understand when God came down and he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, this was the stipulations of a covenant that he made between his people, between himself and the Israelites. They agreed to be faithful to these. Now, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he fulfilled the law. And the Ten Commandments aren't our covenant, per se. In fact, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we take of the cup, Luke tells us that Jesus actually said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Remember it." Then Jesus, later on in Matthew chapter 22, was asked about what the greatest commandments are, and he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love the neighbor as yourself. And if there was a covenant sign, so to speak, it is obedience to the Lord Jesus' great commandment to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've got a funny story about this. When I was in Israel, we were staying in a hotel, and we actually stayed there over two Sabbaths. And it was interesting because on Sabbath day, a traditional greeting for the Sabbath people, as you've probably heard before, is Shabbat Shalom. So we were saying, that people were greeting each other, Shabbat Shalom. And, after a while, I'm a little bit like this. I'll let you in on my warped mind. I just start saying it right back to them, Shabbat Shalom. I mean, right along with you. And we came home from a long day of touring, and we get to this hotel, and there are two elevators. Now, during the few days stay, everyone uses both elevators except for on Sabbath. And so one elevator actually says, it has a label over it, Sabbath Elevator. This elevator is pre-programmed to stop at every floor so the people who are riding it can get on, never push a button, but they will ride and it will eventually get off of their floor. So it stops at every floor going up and every floor going down. There was also another elevator that was not labeled. This elevator didn't have a line either. So we get there, and I'm kind of the first in our group, and I'm standing behind this long line, and I see on this elevator over here, no line. And I sit there, and I'm thinking, I really don't want to offend anybody, and I'm kind of processing this and all my Bible verses and all that kind of stuff. And then I just decide, I'm a Gentile. These people they know I'm a Gentile. I mean, I'm dressed like this. I don't have tassels or I don't have long sideburns. I'm not wearing a covering. I mean, they know, okay? They know. I'm not fooling anyone. So I just slip out of this line and I just go right on over. And in my mind, as I'm passing by this long line of people waiting for the Sabbath elevator, I'm thinking to myself, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. New covenant, new covenant, new covenant. You know, and so I'm walking by and I'm just feeling great about myself. And I go up there, I push that button. And the funniest thing happened. That's not even the end of the story. I push this button, the elevator opens and I get on and the whole line moves into my elevator. And I get on the line, I'm standing by the big, like, Christmas tree of lights, and they start calling out numbers. You know, 33, 32, I'll take 27. And okay. So I get this. You'll let me break it, but you don't want to break it, you know. And the whole time, I'm going, Shabbat Shalom, Jesus loves you, new covenant, you know, the whole thing. But I tell you, you get a good idea about what real legalism is when you're a part of something like that. You know, I want to tell you that a lot of people, they teach legalism about the Sabbath, and what we end up doing, unfortunately, is we're forgetting the principle behind it. So I want to tell you a couple of things tonight, some reasons why the Sabbath is important. First thing is this: when you rest weekly, you are affirming God as creator and sustainer in your life. You see, when Moses tells the people to remember the Sabbath, that's what the Lord said, remember the Sabbath, he's actually pointing back to something that has already happened. And what is that? He's pointing back to creation. And that's the first thing I want you to see, is this: there is a God who rests. You see, God creates rest. According to Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, God created rest. Listen to this: and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day. Now, we all know here that God did not need to rest. He's got all the strength that he would ever need. He's sufficient in and of himself. He's a being not like us. He has no need for anything. He's all powerful. Yet he created rest. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. It's interesting that he didn't create rest because he needed it. He created it. He rested because that day he made different from the rest. He made it holy. Remember the Sabbath, because God made it holy. And what that brings to our mind is that whenever you rest, it is first of all a remembrance that God is the creator and sustainer of your life. Listen, you cannot rest, really rest your body without God. Now, this is not passing any judgment on people who use medications to rest or anything like that. I'm not a physician like that, so I can't speak to it. But I do know that it is rampant today that people are medicating for rest in all kinds of ways. Not just through prescription medications, but through alcohol, through drugs, through all kinds of things. And it's funny to me, not humorous, but it strikes me as funny, because we're trying to do something. We're longing for something that God has actually instilled in us. But isn't it just like the walk of faith in every other aspect? When you try to do what God has intended without God, we always fall flat on our face. Listen, apart from him, you can't do anything, including rest. Every time you keep the Sabbath, you're putting faith into action by saying God is the creator and his creative power can sustain you. So let me just ask you, do you feel overwhelmed, worried, too busy? Are you afraid if you took a day off that there wouldn't be enough time? Have you forgotten about God's creative power to sustain you, your business, and everything else that you have ownership over? Listen, we cannot think that we're better than God. He took a day to rest because he made it holy. He made it different than the rest. So we are honoring God, and we're walking by faith when we take a day to honor him like a Sabbath. You see, Sabbath is a day when all the work is done, even if the work isn't done. It's finished, whether or not it's finished or not. And I tell you, I've been practicing this the past couple of weeks, and I've tried to practice it before that. I neglect this sometimes in my own life. One of the things I do on a regular basis, I'm trying to make this as applicable to you as possible. We live and breathe around on email around here. You know, we email a lot. Everything that we do is there's an electronic or some sort of trail. Back in the day, you'd leave a paper trail for anything with memos. Today, it's all email and cloud-based storage and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? I realized that there was not one day that I didn't check email. And I just decided that, you know what? That's not right. So for the past couple of weeks, I've just been saying, one day, I'm turning it all off for 24 hours. I want to tell you, the first week I did that, I started having shakes, Pastor Don. I didn't know what was going on. Withdrawal symptoms. And it just occurred to me, this is why you rest. Oh, but what about if that really important email, God, you're in control, I'm not. Sabbath is a regular practice, a weekly practice. God, you're the creator and the sustainer. You know what? What if I've got another problem here in the church that I've got to deal with? Well, Mike, it's not your church, it's his church. And you know what, Lord? If there's another problem, you've got another problem, Lord. And you're going to help us with the answer when it's the right time. And, you know, when you work, you're saying, and you practice Sabbath, you're saying God can do more with your 6 days than you could do alone with your seven. You know, isn't this true with your tithe and your giving? You're saying God can do more with your 90% and giving to Him than you could actually do with your 100% alone. And you know, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, look, I can't figure that out. And I want to just tell you this, my friend. If you wait till you figure it out, you'll never do it. That's why it's a step of faith. You know, we've got to trust Him with it. The third thing I want you to see with Sabbath questions, we realize when you take a weekly rest, you're reminding yourself of the creative and sustaining power of God. The next thing is this. You need a weekly time for worship, fellowship, recreation with God, recreation with God, family, and friends. I love this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which reiterates all the Ten Commandments. But the purpose of Deuteronomy is a little bit different. They had a whole generation come through, and so now the point of writing the book of Deuteronomy in God's economy was to really pass on the faith to the next generation. And so they're rehearsing all of the Ten Commandments. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, it says this, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember," this is a kind of commentary or an addendum to this, verse 15, "you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." You know, slaves don't get a day off. So Sabbath is also remembering what God has done in your life, how He has saved you, redeemed you from slavery. You may be a millionaire and work 7 days a week, but I want to tell you, you're just a rich slave. Because we can be slave to our job, we can have a love for money so much that it runs our life. You see, a Sabbath is a reminder, and it's also, may I just say, a preparation for what is to come, for what is in heaven. It is a preparation and is a reminder that you are free. You are no longer a slave, Moses says here. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I find it interesting too that their servants were to get a day off as well. And a lot of times, you know, we think think about the human dignity that God gives to everybody, even the servants and the sojourners, the foreigners that were within the camp, that were within the Israelites. They, even their animals. Listen, I have a friend who is not a Christian, and one of his biggest hang-ups when we were talking about, and I said, just what questions do you have? And he was always nervous about answering questions. He said, I really like animals. And I have an issue with people mistreating animals. I said, okay. He goes, does the Bible have anything to say about treating animals well? Ever thought about that? Actually, it does. Several passages of Scripture, don't mistreat animals. Proverbs speaks to it. But what about the most, I mean, everybody knows the Ten Commandments. And we forget sometimes that it's right here. Give your animals a day off. Because they're working too. Dignity for humans, dignity for animals. This is the kind of God that is setting up this covenant. He's establishing the ground rules for the people of Israel. And here's what happens. Let's think about this the other way. Here's what happens when you violate Sabbath. First, you get mad at people. This has been my experience. First, you get mad at people because they don't work like you do. You know what I'm saying? Come on, you guys have been there before. You know, if you violated Sabbath, you start looking at somebody else, and you're like, they don't work like I do. And that's their problem. Then what happens, you get mad at your spouse, you get mad at your kids, you know, because maybe they say, look, you haven't been home in a long time. Well, there's just work to be done. I'm sorry. So now you have friendships are strained. Family relationships are strained. I've even seen people start to blame God because he's not meeting their expectations of success. And we get mad at God because when you violate Sabbath, some people get mad at God because now they feel like God's not giving them the strength to do the job that they've been called to do. But what happened is you have crossed the perimeter, violated his principle of Sabbath, and now you're blaming God for it. And we've got to be careful of that. So to summarize tonight, I thought I would try to come up with a way to remember this because I believe good sermons are portable. And what I mean by that is you don't have to go back to the podcast to listen. You know, on Tuesday, you can remember it. And this is my stab at it. What does all that God says about rest? I want to give you four quick conclusions, R-E-S-T. First of all, R stands for remember. Remember what God has done in your life. Remember that he is the creator, sustainer, and savior of your life. E stands for encourage, or encourage others. You know, Proverbs chapter 11 says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, when it comes to Sabbath, you have to understand this, it wasn't an inward-focused kind of thing. This was a community-based thing. So for many of you, today is Sabbath. And you know what? You gather together. We worship the Lord. We listen to teaching and reading from God's Word. And we ought also to be encouraging one another. And this is very important for all of us. S stands for sing. And I put sing here because I'm remembering the passage of Scripture in Ephesians. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul gives us some alternatives to getting drunk. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing to one another hymns, spiritual songs. Singing to one another is a great way to encourage one another, to help one another see that there is a fullness in God, and to praise. If you haven't developed a personal life of praise, you ought to really explore that, my friend. Sing to him. Grab your favorite songs. Grab some new songs. Whatever the case may be, I love to sing to the Lord. You know, I heard some new songs this morning with our worship team from Anchor Church, and I thank the Lord for that. We need to sing a new song. And I love singing some of the older songs. By the way, some of the older songs I haven't heard either because I didn't grow up in the church, so some of them are all new to me. I'm like, What decade are we in? I don't know. It's all new to me. Because here's the thing. If you're coming into the church and you're just getting saved, every song to you is new. When I got saved, we were singing these songs from, some of you may know, I think it's like Hosanna or something. I remember the first song I can ever remember listening and remembering in the church is this song called Be Bold, Be Strong. And that was a dark time in Christian music. We don't sing any of those songs anymore, by the way. And, you know, some of these songs, they don't last, but you know what? We sing a new song to the Lord because it's encouraging. You know, we remember that He's the Creator, Savior, and Sustainer. We encourage one another. We sing to Him and to one another. And the last thing is this, you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Remember the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath to the Lord. My friend, the Sabbath is not about going to the lake. It's about going to the Lord. You see, we think sometimes that it's all about navel-gazing and doing fun things. But I want to be very clear, and I believe the Scriptures are crystal clear on this. This is not only about things that are fun. This is about things that are God-honoring in worship, fellowship, friendship, family, giving, serving, generosity, encouraging one another. And I'm reminded of the verse in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Tonight, maybe you're here and you have been poisoned, crushed, and broken by the weight of a burden, anxiety, a worry, crushed through fatigue or frustrations. God is calling you to a Sabbath rest. He's calling us all to enter into that. He's calling us to weekly rest. And if you trust Him with all your heart, one day you will rest with Him for eternity. That's where God is preparing us to be. That's the kind of people He's calling us to be. And I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe you have been a warrior for God for a long time, but you are burned out tonight. I believe God has rest in store for you, and you can claim that tonight. I want to pray, and then we're going to open up these altars. And if you need to come, come to Him and lay your burden and anxiety down to Him. He will take it, and I believe a great exchange will happen. I believe in great exchanges, don't you? That the God, when you come to Him, the God who created rest can give you rest here tonight, and you can walk out a different person. Oh Lord, tonight we give you our heart. We give you our soul. And many of us here tonight, we need some soul care, Lord. And maybe we have looked in all of the wrong places for it. Tonight, I believe, can be a defining moment where an exchange happens. And the person who has come in burdened and heavy can leave with a lightened load and a lifted face. Lord, I pray that you would help us all remember and encourage, sing to you with a glad heart, and trust you to take our burdens. We love you, Lord Jesus. Help us tonight in your name. Amen. We want to open up these altars tonight if you'd like to come and spend some time with the Lord. There will be no formal dismissal. God bless you.